May it please God to bless us together tonight as we meditate in his word. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, and we'll read verses 23 and 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, reading verses 23 and verse 24. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. We're not told who asked this question. We're not told precisely where it was. All we know is that Jesus was going through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And it was in that journey that somebody came and said, Lord, are there few that be saved? We need to notice how the Lord answered. He did not answer the question. The question really was and is irrelevant. How many people today want to know things and inquire about things which are really irrelevant? It might tickle their imagination. They might be pleased to have some answers and some evidence of things which are not necessary. And so we have this question here which was not answered. On the face of it, we might think, Lord, are there few that be saved? We might expect the Lord to give a lengthy answer. But in actual fact, he directs his answer in a very different way and a very important way. And important as it was in the day that he spoke it, it's never ceased to be important. And it is today. For all of us here. And so the Lord then comes and says, and don't think it's an answer to the question, but he says, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say, unto you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. How relative that is today. What does it come down to? It comes down to a personal situation. It comes down to you and it comes down to me. That's the question, isn't it? How stands the case? My soul with thee. For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus Christ thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? These are the important things. Because when we come to die, it won't matter how many people are saved, how many people are not saved. It will matter whether you are saved and whether I'm saved. That's the great question, isn't it? That's the vital question. And so the Lord uses this word, strive, to enter. And we may, of course, think, well, that really smells rather of our own works, which we know, of course, by themselves will not get us to heaven. But let us remember, as we said recently, faith without works is dead, no life. And so here we have this statement, strive. We may say, well, what does it mean? How are we to strive? I believe we can consider it in this way. We are to desire and to read the Word of God. We are to desire to and to pray. We are to desire and to do, to set a good example in our lives. And to desire and to do, follow the example of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and those good examples also by those who've gone before. Now, all these are things which you and I are to strive after. And the inference here is very clear that it's not easy. And it's not easy. None of those things come to us naturally. You know, if they do, I suppose we have to ask the question whether it's just natural religion. Because some people, of course, will read the Bible because they find it naturally interesting. They think it's very good literature. Richard Dawkins thinks it's a very good book to read for literature. He doesn't believe it's the Word of God, but he thinks it's a good word to read. So we should not, therefore, think it's just a good book to read naturally. But if the Spirit of God is moving in our hearts, you know, there will be opposition. And again, you may say, well, why will there be opposition? Because the devil doesn't want you to read the Bible. Be quite clear about that. He does not want you to. And therefore, there'll be all manner of opposition when you try and read the Word of God. Yes, there'll be temptations to do other things. Many things will perhaps come into your mind. You think, well, I must just do that, and I must just do this, and carry on with that. And what happens? We run out of time. We find there's not time then to read the Word of God as we would do. And then, perhaps when you sit down to read the Word of God, you find all manner of thoughts flood into your mind. And you start reading and you read and you get to the end of a few verses and you've no idea what you read. Again, you see, it's the powerful influence of the evil one. He's always there. He never wants us to read the Word of God. So, what must we do? Well, let's take this. Let's pray. Whenever we come to read the Word of God, let us pray that the devil may be kept far away so that we may read it. And read it then that the Holy Spirit may apply the Word to our hearts. And then pray again that the Lord will give us willingness and desire and opportunities to read the Word of God. Now this, you see, is striving. That's why the Lord uses this word, strive, to read the Bible. And what a blessing it is when the Lord gives us that grace and gives us that strength and that ability to read it prayerfully and carefully. And then it becomes a living word. Why? Because it speaks to our heart. It's not just then an historical account. It's not just then words which we might think are wonderful literature and excellent prose, but the Word of God speaks to our heart. What has occurred? The Lord's been gracious. The Lord's spoken. The Lord's directed us. And so, never think, therefore, well, that was relatively easy. You need to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Strive then to read the Word of God, because this striving directs us in the way that we should enter in at the straight gate. And there is a striving from this perspective. And then, as I said, prayer. We would think, would we not, that prayer was an automatic reaction. Well, so it should be. Sometimes it is, but you know, sometimes it's not. We don't always pray, do we? No, and therefore, we need to be reminded of the need to pray. The need to pray. We can very easily fall into a pattern in our prayers. Nothing against that, but to forget other things that need to be prayed for. the Lord will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. Prayer is very vital in the life of the Christian. It's referred to as our vital breath. Without breathing naturally, there's no life. Without praying spiritually, there's no life. And how we need, therefore, to be blessed with true prayer. And again, prayer is not easy, because the devil will come alongside us. Sometimes it's a good thing to pray out loud. It's a good thing to pray out loud. It's not quite so easy for the devil then to come and disturb you. But no doubt mostly we are found praying perhaps silently. You know, I think in years past it wasn't like that. People did pray, and they prayed out loud. And one of the Scottish divines, I'm not sure which one it was, I think it could have been Rutherford, and he used to get out of bed at night and go into another room and pray. And sometimes his wife would creep out of bed and listen to what he was praying for. Now again, you see, that was striving, wasn't it? Often we like our bed too much, don't we? It's too comfortable. What a blessing if the Lord gives us that grace and spiritual desire to strive in prayer. And not to relegate it to just a few rushed words. It's very easy to get into that condition and that position. But don't forget, the Word of God tells us encouragingly, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'm sure that is true, as the whole Word of God is true. And therefore we need to pray that we may be blessed with effectual, fervent prayer. And this will be striving. And you see then, our walk in the world, striving to set a good example. You know, the Word of God tells us that the world may take knowledge of us, that we have been with Jesus and have learned of him. Now, if you and I have rightly learned of the Saviour, there will be an effect in our lives, because we will have and desire to have and to seek to have and to strive to have a Christ-like spirit. And what is that spirit? It's very opposite to nature. What is it? Christ Jesus pleased not himself. That's good, isn't it? You see, by nature, we like to please ourselves. We do what we want to do. The Lord Jesus Christ did the will of his Father. My friends, what a blessing. If the Lord gives us that grace to strive in this way, to do the will of our Heavenly Father. And the will of our Heavenly Father is spoken of so clearly, isn't it, in the Word of God. Striving in our walk. And then you see, in our conversation, it's very easy to join in the conversation of the world. Very easy. Our old nature goes along that way. And we don't like to be thought different. We don't like to be separate, as it were. But there will therefore be the necessity of this striving to speak the truth of God. Now, it won't be in a proud, bombastic way. There is a right way to speak. And the way to speak is in love. In love. In humbleness. With a contrite heart. Not vaunting our own ideas, but speaking humbly. And what would be the desire? What would be the concern? It would be for the salvation of their souls. Now then, it'll be striving. It won't be easy. None of these things are easy. But may God all give us all grace to be found striving, and then also then to come down to that which is literally between our souls and God, our thoughts. Again, to strive to keep our thoughts concentrated on the things of God and not wander away into the things of time. You know, the devil wants you and me to have wonderful imaginations. And left to ourselves, we imagine vain things, don't we? They never come to pass, but they're, as the Solomon says, they are vanity of vanity and vexation of spirit. They don't do us any real good, do they? Just those vain thoughts. The psalmist says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. What a blessing if you and I are favoured to strive like that, so that we come and say, yes, I hate vain thoughts. Now, it'll only be true if it's worked out in our lives. Again, that's between your soul and God. No one knows what you're thinking, do they? No one at all. Only you and God. Because God looks into our heart, he looks into our mind. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking since you've been in the building tonight. You may have needed to strive to concentrate on the things of God. Again, never forget, there is the warfare, the continual warfare between what we describe as the old man and the new. That means our old nature, which we are born with, and the new nature which God gives to us when he calls us by his grace when we are converted. There will be that battle, that conflict. And that's why we have this word, strive. It's a good thing, isn't it? When the Lord gives us an understanding of his word and what it really means to us in our lives, and to have be a gracious influence from the Spirit of God to desire that we might be given that godly ability to strive in those things I've outlined this evening. Don't listen to the devil. The devil will always try and distract us. And remember, he's very clever. Remember, he knows what your weakness is, he knows what my weakness is, and he will home in on that and attempt to turn us aside. Left to ourselves, my friends, how successful he is. And what's the effect of that? What's the effect of it? Do you know what the effect is? Sin. Sin. Very solemn, isn't it? Sin. So may God give us that grace then to strive for heavenly things. And he tells us here in this word, remember the Lord spoke no answer to this question, are there few that be saved? But he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. There is a direct way. And the straight gate, the door, I'm sure you know what that is. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, how important it is that you and I are blessed with that grace to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the door. The Lord speaks to us himself, of himself. In the 10th of John we're told, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. There's only one entrance into the right way, and that's through the door. And we are not to climb up over the wall and to think, well, I can avoid going through the door. we avoid going through the door and climb up over the wall, we've entered in the wrong way and we will never come to the end. And so here we have this statement, and it's a very beautiful picture we have in this 10th chapter of John, because it speaks of the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd, and that one who leads his people in the right way. And he tells us, I am the door. He tells us, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. What do we read there? We read a personal application. That means the Lord deals with us individually, directly, speaks to our heart. Yes. And he that entereth in with the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. That means there is a personal call from God. He calls every sheep, every sheep. That means he calls every child of God. He speaks to them, he calls them. And he putteth forth his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. What a mercy that is. Oh, tonight, my friends, do you and I know the voice of the Lord Jesus? The voice. Yes, his voice is most sweet. You know, the voice of Jesus is the sweetest voice, because it calls us to himself. For they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And then he tells us, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. And may have been those you who come to try and distract us and to pretend this is the way. You can go on, you can do this, you can be involved in that, you can enjoy this. No, you can't. You're listening to the robbers who would desire to rob you of your faith. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. There's only one door, the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way into this straight path that leads to glory. No other way. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. When God gives us that grace to go through the door, we don't find it's a place where there's no food. We don't find it's a place where there's no pasture, naturally, where there's no grass, but spiritually there is grass. It's a spiritual place, because Christ provides the food, and the food that he provides is himself. And so the Lord tells us, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, what a difference. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now that's a great blessing. If you and I, by the grace of God, have entered in to this straight way, this narrow way which leads to eternal life, the Lord will be with us, and the Lord indeed will feed us. And so he tells us in this verse, strive to enter in at the straight gate. the door, the straight gate, which is before us, before his people, and not to try and avoid it. We might think, well, to enter into that way is going to be difficult for me. It's going to cost me a lot. It's going to involve me in hardship. It's going to involve me with persecution. It's going to involve me in opposition. Well, it may. But it may not. Don't make assumptions. The Lord knows how to deliver. The Lord knows how to make the way. And remember those gracious words that he said, "Those that honour me, I will honour." The Lord stands by his people. He goes with his people. He helps them. He guides them and directs them. He takes them by the hand. They're not by themselves. They're not going in their own strength. They're relying upon his strength. And, their strength is made perfect in weakness. We don't go in our strength. We realise by the grace of God, we're weak in ourselves. And we cast all our care upon the Lord. He careth for you. What a blessing that is to know the Lord cares for us. And so strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now that's the gracious exhortation, the gracious instruction that the Saviour gives to us when he speaks to us through his word. And it's a very important word. And, those who enter through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ are those that the Lord describes of in this same chapter. Well, Jesus says, "I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." And that's a very solemn statement, isn't it? It's a very true statement. Never forget, the Word of God is very dividing. There's no grey areas in the Word of God. The Word of God is very dividing. And so then the Lord says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." What a great and glorious God we have, my friends. How humbling it is, surely, to realize that here we have such a God who graciously encourages us through his word. "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say, unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able, because they've been following a wrong way. Because they've been relying on their own strength. Because they have not been striving. No, they've just carried on in a worldly way. Because if there is not this striving, if there is not that opposition, we have to assume, well, it means that we're not in the right way. If the way is very easy to the flesh, it means we're in the broad way. The broad way that leads to destruction. The Word of God tells us, if we're in the right way, it will mean a crucifixion of the flesh. Now we perhaps shudder at that and we don't like the thought of it. Because it means we need to put to death, and painful death it is, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all the things that the world, that our own nature goes after. Crucify our flesh. Yes. But when God gives you and me grace to do it, and it is his grace, Without me you can do nothing, but through Christ I can do all things that strengtheneth me. And if our hope and our expectation is from the Saviour, desiring to do his will, that our lives may honour and glorify his great and glorious name, never forget that. Never forget that. We're apt to, aren't we? Our lives are not to enjoy ourselves in this world. The Lord does give us many things to enjoy, and we should be very thankful for it and very grateful for it. But our life on this earth is not for our glory. It's for the honour and glory of God. It's a very solemn realisation, isn't it? As we have such a thought and position as that placed before us. And so we must therefore remember the truth of these words. And what was the effect of what the Lord spoke to these people when he preached on this occasion? Do you know what happened? The Jews took up stones again to stone him. They didn't like what they heard. My friends, our nature doesn't like to hear what the things God speaks. And the world doesn't like to hear the things that God speaks. But bless God, if he's given you that right spirit. And what is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's a tender conscience. I'll tell you what it is. It's a new heart. It's not a rebellious heart. It's not a hard heart. It's a soft heart that desires to do the will of God. I say unto you, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Well, you know, if you and I are being brought to enter in, how will we enter in? What will the entrance be? Remember, in the Passover night, the safety of the entrance into the house was to be under the blood. And that's the same today. If you and I are to enter in at the straight gate, we only enter in through that one way, under the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses from all sin. How comforting, how strengthening to realize the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save us from our sins, that we, by his grace, might inherit the kingdom prepared for us from before the foundation of the world. Amazing grace, isn't it? Wonderful blessing to think that Almighty God, before the foundation of the earth, provided this way, this entrance. The blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, have we then in our hearts tonight the blessed evidence that we have entered in? We are in that straight way, enter in at the straight gate, and not be found amongst those who have just sought to enter in because they entered in under their own terms. And you see, we enter in by the terms of Almighty God, who has paid the price for our entry. He's paid, as it were, the entrance fee. No unworthy sinner can enter in to the gates of glory, but those who are washed, those who are clean, those who are redeemed. And the Lord Jesus Christ has wonderfully paid that price. The condescension of Almighty God. My friends, what a debt we owe, don't we? Just think of it. The Lord has paid the price so that we, by his grace, would inherit eternal life. What a prospect. What a blessing. What value there is in this gift of eternal life. And my friends, we shall never be able to repay that debt, will we? The Lord paid to ransom our soul in giving his life and shedding his most precious blood. But may we hear his words. And may we desire to hear his words. And may we desire to walk out his gracious words, the admonition he gives. And remember, he giveth more grace. You may think, well, I just can't do this, I just can't do that. Again, come back to what the Apostle Paul said. He was only a man like you and I. But he knew the secret, and the secret is still the same today. It's personal. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And you see, as we're able to do those things through Christ, what does it do? It brings honour and glory to his great and holy name. And it brings peace into our hearts. Yes, we have the answer of a good conscience. It's a wonderful thing to have an answer of a good conscience before God. We don't have that. But bless God when he does come and gives us that grace to follow the way. The way marked out with blood. It's the only way. The only way to eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ has shown us the way. Directed us in the way. And so may we know, therefore, that we are amongst those who have entered in through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the door, the straight gate. And therefore believe that because of his wonderful love, his love toward us, so great, so free, that we shall spend eternity with our beloved. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Union with Christ. Oh, my friends, what a blessing, what a favour. Nothing greater, nothing in this earth can compare with union with Christ. Because union with Christ means no separation. It means eternal blessing. So as we read this tonight, remember, somebody asked the question, are the few that be saved? It's really irrelevant. The great need we have is to be found striving to enter in at the straight gate. Be found amongst those who are the chosen of God, who have been given grace to strive. Not easy, hard, trying, but the end is good. Remember, those that endure unto the end shall be saved. Blessed be God.